It is suggested that you listen to the 2-minute introduction, which is a separate recording. This is plank number 2 of 32, recorded live. The topic for this plank is the deific definitions. Plank number 1 was the deific supremacy, which gave us specifics about why we should look to God as the very first and most important topic we could ever study. This plank number 2 goes to the foundation to give us the specifics about what God is. The Mary Baker Eddy Institute was founded in 1988, and a substantial portion of the research that has been done by the Institute is on this very topic of God and how is it to be defined. Physicists who supposedly are in business to research all existence have been blind to the substance of all existence, and therefore they were unable to ever come up with a solution on what are the foundational root notions of all existence. Einstein stated, "Science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind." But in the case of the physicists, they have been both lame and blind when they were trying to determine the root notions of the universe. Hence, their failure was assured at the onset of their research, for they were looking in the wrong dimension. However, about 1900, a turn for the better took place when they discovered quantum physics and quantum mechanics, both names implying the same thing, and that is, when one takes a supposed piece of matter, which they called the atom, and worked on splitting it, they realized that each time they split it, there was just less of the same thing. And they finally came to the conclusion that if they got it down to zero, they would realize that what was being observed was not fact, but only that they were becoming less and less convinced there was any material substance, and more convinced that there had to be something else. And this opened their thought to recognizing that, in fact, what they were really doing was observing what they were anticipating. In other words, their thought was projecting what they were seeing, as opposed to letting the truth be their guide. They finally came to the conclusion that what they were thinking that was opaque matter was really energy that was oscillating at a high frequency, a high degree of rotation, and therefore gave the appearance that it was opaque when in fact it was transparent. Bruce Lee left a legacy that he was more advanced by at least a dimension above his opponents, for he was never defeated and he never got hit, because he was able to determine where an object of the opponent would be in the future, whether it was a foot or a leg or an arm or a fist, a head, or whatever it was. He mastered the art of disappearing so that whatever was intended to be struck would not be there. It may have been only a very small sideways movement, or whatever it may be, but whatever the object that the opponent was attempting to hit, Bruce would have that part of his body not there. Quite a bit of time was devoted to his skill in the prior recording, so no more will be said of it at this time. But we have several videos on the website for people to understand exactly what it means to eliminate conflict. Wentworth Winslow was an expert Christian Science practitioner. Number one, his schedule allowed 15 minutes per appointment. And by the end of the 15 minutes, the individual was healed. Number two, he wrote 4 books. And these were really a series of short articles, 122 in all. And the titles to the books tell us exactly about how thought develops. The first book is Let God Do It. The second one, God Can Do It. The third, God Will Do It. And the fourth, God Is Doing It. Tremendous amount of food for thought in the titles and the sequence that they're presented. The introductory quotes to the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, is a perfect place to begin whenever we're going to read anything out of Science and Health or do any study at any spiritual level. In any reference, whether it's Mary Baker Eddy's or another author, they are as follows. 1. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus. 2. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. 3. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Of course, the research in quantum mechanics, quantum physics, 2 different words for the same thing, came to that same conclusion that Shakespeare is reminding us of, which of course he wrote several hundred years previous. They were expecting something as they kept splitting the atom, and that's what they were finding. That's what they were visualizing. They were visualizing a smaller and smaller quantity of matter. But they really got down to the point that because they were accepting a lesser amount of matter to be occupying space, that they were willing to accept, finally, that there was no matter there whatsoever. Only energy that was rotating or oscillating at a high rate of speed that made it look like it was opaque as opposed to the reality, and that is that it didn't exist at all. John was by far the most advanced disciple of Jesus. He asked Jesus, "Is there a material body?" And then he asked, "Is there a material universe?" Both of those questions, Jesus answered in the negative. The complete quotation is on the website. Most people are not even aware of that conversation. Returning to Wentworth Winslow for a moment, a couple of other things that are of great interest. He raised a boy from the belief of death. He started his day by singing hymns. He healed a man without knowing anything about what the problem was. He only received a telegram, and this was 100 years ago. And the telegram said, 6 treatments, please. He didn't have any way to contact the individual. He came to the conclusion that the only way he could be any of assistance was to purify his own thought, speech, and action. So he made an extra special effort to give attention to the topic of purity in everything that came to him as a thought, anything he said, and any action that he took. Like Jesus, he was trying to be at one with God. And of course, Jesus was the most perfect example of anyone that ever did that. After a few days, he got another telegram that said, 6 more treatments, please. He continued on. A period of time went by, and he got another telegram. He said, the first 6 treatments healed my friend who was in an insane asylum, but no one would believe it. The second 6 treatments healed the belief of everyone that was still keeping him in prison, in confinement, in their own thought, not accepting the healing. There's an example that Mr. Winslow knew nothing about what the problem was, had no way to communicate, so he couldn't do what Mary Baker Eddy suggests that we do in treatment, and that is to expose the evil. So he could only treat it on a generic manner of trying his best to expose anything that was less than a perfect thought, speech, or action. Anything that had any impurity in it whatsoever. He made a concerted effort to clean it out, purify it. The 122 articles are excellent and highly recommended. The other item that I would like to bring to your attention is that he suggested that we consider being in a room, and it had a radio and a telephone. The telephone was ringing its head off. The radio was tuned in to station KOG, Kingdom of God. And all it was doing was announcing the qualities of God. And of course, that's what Mary Baker Eddy suggests, that we have a model. And that certainly is a wonderful place to begin. But what's going on with the phone? He relates it as being an avenue, a venue that is effective at getting its foot in the door of our consciousness to corrupt it, to make a space for mortal mind suggestions and nurture them or ignore them and let them grow. Either way, it comes to a fatal result. Fatal for good thoughts. Mary Baker Eddy says we should guard our door of thought against thieves and murderers. Guarding what comes over a common communication tool such as a telephone. And of course today it's the internet channels. Because unfortunately, hours a day are devoted to receiving and communicating in a very unproductive manner. Following is the original text by Mary Baker Eddy of Plank Number 2. The specific title is The Deific Definitions. God is what the scriptures declare him to be. Life, truth, love. Spirit is divine principle, and divine principle is love, and love is mind, and mind is not both good and bad, for God is mind. Therefore, there is, in reality, one mind only, because there is one God. Here is the text divided into key points. 1. God is what the scriptures declare him to be, life, truth, love. 2. Spirit is divine principle, and divine principle is love. 3. Love is mind, and mind is not both good and bad, for God is mind. 4. Therefore, there is in reality one mind only, because there is one God. Let's look at these individually. 1. God is what the scriptures declare him to be, life, truth, love. As indicated in the prior recording, which was Plank Number 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and likeness." Verse 27, "Therefore God made man in his image and likeness." And it was explained that verse 26, where it said, "let us," that is indicating we need to have our thought open. Our consciousness needs to be ready to receive the goodness that is going to flow if we just open up and peel back the onion and see what's underneath. It's not new information, it is revealing what is already within. The seven synonymous terms can be easily divided into three parts. The first three are mind, spirit, soul. The fourth one is principle. And the next three are the third part, life, truth, love. Principle, being in the center, is telling us that that is the foundation. The foundation for the entire seven synonymous terms. Chapter 15 of the textbook is entitled Genesis. And she covers the key points in Genesis in that chapter. Here is what she says about Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." That was the full text from Genesis 1, verse 26, and here is her spiritual translation. Elohistic plurality. The eternal Elohim includes the forever universe. The name Elohim is in the plural, but this plurality of spirit does not imply more than one God, nor does it imply three persons in one. It relates to the oneness, the triunity of life, truth, and love. Quote, let them have dominion, end of quote. Man is the family name for all ideas, the sons and daughters of God. All that God imparts moves in accord with Him, reflecting goodness and power. She continues in the next paragraph with the title of Reflected Likeness. Your mirrored reflection is your own image or likeness. If you lift a weight, your reflection does this also. If you speak, the lips of this likeness move in accord with yours. Now compare man before the mirror to his divine principle, God. Call the mirror divine science, and call man the reflection. Then note how true, according to Christian Science, is the reflection to its original. As the reflection of yourself appears in the mirror, so you, being spiritual, are the reflection of God. The substance, life, intelligence, truth, and love which constitute deity are reflected by His creation. And when we subordinate the false testimony of the corporeal senses to the facts of science, we shall see this true likeness and reflection everywhere. That was part of what Wentworth Winslow was doing. He was starting with himself as source, being the projector of what he was reflecting from God, and then he was seeing that the true nature of everything is perfect. In the Planck One, it was discussed about a letter called The Secret from Mary Baker Eddy, whereby she devoted every hour of the day some moments to make sure her thought was pure in everything she was thinking, saying, and doing. And it was so important because she was being attacked all the time, and the natural thing to do from the standpoint of the brain in trying to defend itself would be to provide the opposite action as what one should do. It is not good to use mortal mind, but immortal mind as our thought, speech, and action source. I shall recite one more because it is directly connected with what's previously been read and with the verse 26 and 27. Love imparts beauty. God fashions all things after His own likeness. Life is reflected in existence, truth in truthfulness, God in goodness, which impart their own peace and permanence. Love, redolent with unselfishness, bathes all in beauty and light. The grass beneath our feet silently exclaims, quote, the meek shall inherit the earth, end of quote. The modest arbutus sends her sweet breath to heaven. The great rock gives shadow and shelter. The sunlight glints from the church dome, glances into the prison cell, glides into the sick chamber, brightens the flower, beautifies the landscape, blesses the earth. Man, made in His likeness, possesses and reflects God's dominion over all the earth. man and woman as coexistent and eternal with God, forever reflect in glorified quality the infinite Father, Mother God. Do we want to learn about who we really are? Or how about our neighbor, who they really are? Do we wonder how in the world can we love someone that appears to be doing such terrible things? How did Jesus look upon anyone that was in need of healing? As someone in need of healing? Or as the reflection of the perfect man? It's obviously the latter. Einstein tells us that we cannot solve a problem if we approach it on the same level as where the problem occurred. A quote such as this does not mention Christian Science, as do some of his other specific quotes, but it would be interesting to know the dates of these, specifically whether these revelations came to him before or after he began the earnest study of Christian Science. This live recording has been paused for a moment to add to our projects, and if we are able to find any dates attached to any of the quotes that we use, we will provide that in the future. Right now, the home page presents effective healing, and there's a section entitled God Defined, and you will find that very useful with definitions that are quoted in many of the prayer treatments. And due to the title of this plank number 2 being the deific definitions, you will find it very helpful to thoroughly study that section in the effective healing presentation. Analogies are very valuable in our study, because as Mary Baker Eddy has stated, symbols are very important in understanding spirit. Since spirit has been defined as being the only true substance, in other words, the substance of all reality, and since substance is invisible in its true spiritual form, then symbols are the way we can relate to it. And that's covered in the text that has been read by Mary Baker Eddy when we were discussing earlier in this recording about the response by Mary Baker Eddy to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. As with everything in the study of Christian Science, it needs to be practiced. So the recitation from Mary Baker Eddy on the response on those two verses of 26 and 27, we can actually look as we are doing everything we do on a daily basis and seek out examples of all of those various qualities that she amplified in that explanation. We have now covered the original text in plank 2, as well as the numbered key points of that original text, and also have provided comments. We shall now recite the comments by John L. Sinton on the same original text. The nature and essence of the individual infinite, and that's a quote from No and Yes, page 19, is defined here through the synonymous terms life, truth, love. These three terms interpret a very subjective sense of the divine being. As a trinity, they convey one aspect of divine principle, namely structure. Spirit, love, and mind are used also to interpret principle, to indicate its oneness and freedom from dualism, good and bad, with one mind, spirit as starting point. It seems everything here has been covered also, but I shall read the same key points from John L. Stanton in a numbered list. The nature and essence of the individual infinite, denied here through the synonymous terms life, truth, love. These three terms interpret a very subjective sense of the divine being. As a trinity, they convey one aspect of divine principle, namely structure. Spirit, love, and mind are used also to interpret principle, to indicate its oneness and freedom from dualism, good and bad, with one mind, spirit, as starting point. Mary Baker Eddy devoted time every hour to be sure she was only looking for perfection in everything and everyone. We repeat this constantly because it is so valuable. Here's a woman that was devoting her entire time to improve her spiritual understanding. She states herself that she studied science and health. Even though she is credited as being the author, she stated that it was dictated to her by God, and she was merely the scribe under the orders of God. If she felt it was necessary to do self-examination every hour, to be self-assured that she was keeping on track, that certainly is food for thought. We are each working out our own salvation, and therefore it is only a suggestion that you contemplate that as a possible method of improving your own advancement along the path of infinite progression, working toward concrete being. It is Saturday, May 30, 2026, at 10:24. This is the end of this prayer treatment focusing on plank number 2 with the title of The Deific Definitions, with comments by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute and John L. Stanton. Thank you for listening. The end.